Good morning.
Morning.
Mark, I know you told us that's not a closet, but every time I see you in there, I just think you're in a closet. It's just the angle, I think, and the way
It does. I know it does. And it's the Murphy bed is off to this side, but that's the bedding up in that corner. So that's why it looks like I'm in the
Oh.
enclosed closet.
Yeah, that's funny.
Tim's in the dark.
Tim, we like barely can hear you. I know you don't want us to see you, but we can't really hear you.
Mommy, you can open my bra now. Okay?
Hi, Doug.
That's just fine, Clark. How are you?
Well,
How are you?
I don't know if you guys have realized, but Saturday mornings Will has been going to the grocery store, so I have to like try to talk to you guys and keep Clark from destroying the house simultaneously.
At least he's not, at least Will's not playing golf, you know, so it's real good.
Yeah, he's only played golf once so far through this whole thing. And it was on like a Wednesday afternoon. And I asked him if he took time off from work to go. And he was like, ah. Oh. But to be fair, he has had to work our evenings and weekends and whatever too. So I think it's all right.
Yeah, I don't know. This whole thing, you know, all of us exempt people, we just seem to double up our time, and you know, it's just like, okay, just more time. It's all good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've said as we talk about work from home and that kind of stuff, I've said for a long time that it's sort of a farce that people are working 40 hours a week just because they're in their office 40 hours a week. You know, some people work more, some people work less. There's a lot of time just staring at a computer screen, depending on who you are, not doing anything. So I don't know. We just assume that. It makes us all feel more comfortable, but in reality.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can, Tim.
Okay. I had to switch over to my cell phone reception.
Yeah, it was like you were so, we could hear you, but you were so quiet. But now we hear you.
Okay, great. Well, I don't really have anything to say, so it doesn't make any difference.
Don't worry, you will have something to say, I'm sure.
Actually, let me rephrase that. I have things to say, but they will be carefully scripted so as to not leave any misunderstanding as to what I'm saying.
That can be more dangerous, Tim. It's sometimes if people don't understand what you're saying, it's a little safer.
Well, great. Okay. So what do we got going on today?
I have a couple things. But I don't know if somebody else wants to start. I always start.
No, go ahead, because honestly, I haven't even checked my email this morning, so
Go ahead, Doug.
I don't have anything really either, so I've just for right now, I every day is a new day, as I say, you know, we're just trying to figure out what the hell's going on and try, I don't know,
Yeah, it's funny. I
keep
was
ahead.
just reflecting this morning on, you know, the conversations we've been having over the last few days, and I started list just writing, but just because it felt like I wanted to, a long list of the different risks that we have to weigh and consider as we like make all these decisions. And it was getting very long, and it's no wonder we're exhausted, and it's no wonder that it's complicated.
Well, then if you start to try to put weighting factors to it, you
I
know,
know.
so the risk factors and then you identify in them and then to try to weight them, oh my gosh, it's just becomes this big bottle of stew that, you know, hopefully it's edible when we get done.
Right. Well, and it's everything, right? Like there's a risk in moving too fast. There's a risk in moving too slow. There's a risk in having too many tourists. There's a risk in not having enough tourists. You know, it got a little crazy pretty quickly, but it did make me feel a little better, to be honest.
So, yes, I kind of went through the same thing. It's funny that we did that independently.
Same wavelength, I guess.
I find my greatest comfort zone inside of Excel spreadsheets, and I thought that would be a good place to retreat to, and kind of got about halfway into it and said, well, this is ridiculous. I'm not getting anywhere with this. But I thought of two things that I hope that I and we behave that way, and I would urge some of our adversaries to think about these two things as well, which is a little bit of humility and tolerance that, you know, we don't know the answers and they don't know the answers, and try to be respectful to each other and listen to what each other people have to say. And it is frustrating when people go straight to anger and accusations and questioning our motives. And I would, if anybody's out there listening, I would just ask them to tolerance for us. And I think we're certainly trying to do that for everybody around us. So that's my philosophical take this morning.
Thanks, Tim. Well, I guess, you know, why I started writing that list, I just was thinking about it all, and Doug has done a good job reminding us of this. It's all about weighing different risks and deciding which ones to take and which ones not to take and how much to take. And so I don't know. I was just reminding myself about that. So I do have a couple of things. So I think you saw yesterday that the Lodging Association is ready to share a draft proposal with us, and that they're hoping to do that on Wednesday. Was that all right with you guys?
I want to see it before Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah. I think at the Board of Health meeting is where they wanted to just share it with us so that Carrie and Brian were also there, but, I think they can definitely send it to us before that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so I can ask that. And then, I don't know if you all saw, I didn't see the actual press conference, but I saw comments from the governor's press conference yesterday. And he talked about restaurant reopening. And it sounds like people are a little confused by his timeline, but he said something like, well, sometime between Memorial Day and June 14th. And that's a pretty big window. I'm on, an email thread with all our restaurant folks. I mean, it's definitely not all of them, but it's the ones that I met with last week. And so I think they are interested in having a conversation with us about a potential variance, only because they don't feel like financially they can wait until June 14th. If the governor is ready to allow restaurants to reopen Memorial Day, I think they feel fine about that. But if it stretches all the way out to the 14th, I think they would be wanting us to help them out. And so they're working on that conversation, but I had my CCAT governing board call yesterday. So Hillary Cooper was assigned to that state. I don't know. The name has changed like three times. It was originally called the New Normal Task Force or something like that, but now it has a different name. So she's representing counties under 250,000 people on that group. And she said that they had a conversation. They met this week, I guess they're meeting weekly, and they talked to one of their biggest points of conversation was the variance process. It sounds like it's a big mess. I'm sure you guys probably aren't super surprised by that fact. And it's taking them a really, really, really long time to go through all these waivers and review them and whatever. And I was just starting to do a little research on the variance process so that when I think the next time I'm meeting with the restaurant owners is on Tuesday, just so that I could kind of explain to them what that looks like. And I believe that no one except Mesa County and Eagle County has had a waiver reviewed yet or approved yet. I could be wrong, but based on what's on the governor's website, it doesn't seem like anyone else's has been approved. So I'm not going to, tell the restaurant association, like, let's not bother. I don't feel that way at all. But I'm personally just a little nervous that they're not going to end up getting what they need, because it's not going to be able to move quickly enough for them to actually, but I think all we can do is try on their behalf, assuming that what they bring to us, you know, that we do decide to go down that path based on what we bring to us, which of course we'll need to talk with public health and we'll need to fully review that. But I think based on the discussions we've had, we would be open to that. And by that point, by Memorial Day, we would have our local data to be able to decide whether that's appropriate or not. So personally, I feel comfortable with them, making a proposal to us and us doing a full consideration of that. I think we'll need to really talk carefully about why, whatever we decide, why we go that way. But in researching the variance process, I just don't know. You know, it may end up being a moot point, unfortunately, because they are taking so long to process them. So I don't know. And then just related to restaurants and the timeline, it sounds like I've talked to probably at least three different people, sources about different things related to the restaurants. So someone locally, I can't remember who it is, but someone is on the board of the State Restaurant Association. And so they've been, of course, lobbying and working closely with the governor's office on restaurant reopening. And they have like a May 23rd date in mind. But then what Polis has been saying publicly is May 23rd would be the earliest they would consider opening restaurants, and that his goal is by June 14th, if the data indicates that. But then apparently there was also some kind of call with, like, so most of this came from conversations via the CCAT call yesterday. Apparently there was some kind of call with 12 counties, we don't know which 12, that was, one was Garfield, that's all I know, that was discussion of a group waiver for restaurant reopening that would allow them to reopen restaurants on the 15th. But the governor's office is denying that that conversation happened. So we don't need to go into all that. I'm just trying to kind of paint a picture that it sounds like it's just sort of a mess, and that different people have different information, and of course, it's just all very confusing. But I do think that our local restaurant owners are going to ask us to look at a variance request to allow them to open earlier if, you know, it's not going to be until June that the state reopens. I think that if it is closer to Memorial Day weekend, that they would be fine with the state timeline, at least based on the conversations I've had with them so far. So that would be forthcoming.
Let me jump in there on that, Beth.
That's fine.
I think, at least in my mind, one of the advantages of waiting for the governor's order is that presumably they have spent some time and effort and expertise on developing a set of guidelines and regulations. So if we're not gonna wait for them, I'm assuming that the Restaurant Association here locally would come back to us with a fully drafted set of regulations and guidelines that we could rely on.
Yeah, I would think so. And honestly, I think they would probably match whatever the state's coming up with. I think it's just more, in my mind, it would be more about our ability to move more quickly just because we're dealing with it on a smaller scale at a local level versus what the state is doing. And again, there's so much confusion about the reopening date. And Robin, I see the article you sent, but I saw a different article from Denver 7 news that characterized it in a totally different way. So in terms of the reopening date. So obviously there's just a lot of confusion. And I think what our local restaurants want is probably just some kind of certainty about what the date will be here versus like, let's wait for what the state and let's wait and see what the state does. I'm a little nervous. It's probably headed in the same direction that the safer at home stuff went, which is like, nobody knows what's happening. There's all kinds of information flying around and it makes business owners nervous because they have no certainty.
So maybe at a minimum, if in your conversations with Ruth and them, and I'm happy to call somebody as well, it would help if we could at least get a draft of the regulations themselves without worrying exactly about the date. Because I agree with you, that's what happened at Safer at Home. We were told to move ahead without any guidelines. I'd like to see the guidelines a week or two in advance.
So I am sure that I could, that our local restaurant owners who are affiliated with the restaurant association have those. I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't. And so I wouldn't think that would be a problem.
Great. That
sounds good. So if I can just interject, Scott Komen has some draft guidelines that the state has sent that are not for public distribution. But you may just want to have this conversation with Scott because there's been a lot of stuff happening. And then I don't know if you got the community letter that we sent out through MailChimp yesterday at the very end. I'm hoping you're on the distribution list. If not, I'll get it to you. Was a message from the Colorado Restaurant Association. So they have tools as well that they're working with the state. And then they confirmed that Mesa County was the only county that has gotten a variance. So Scott may be a resource on this.
I don't think I'm out.
Yeah, so I got a couple of comments. So first off, if the waiver process is so burdensome and that they're so backed up, they ought to do some work on the front end of that thing and come up with a template, you know? And so, hey, we go down there and check the boxes. And so, hey, you know, so we're no different than, I keep saying right now, we're no different than Moffat County or Mesa County either. So I think there's some place in there. And for them to look at that individually, that's all crazy. So secondly, yeah, it's really nice. The fact is that we actually do the restaurant inspections. So, you know, here locally at the county, so we would have some enforcement power that Moffat County doesn't have, because the state does their inspection. So that would be a great thing. So I don't know. I guess I'm back to, you know, Tim and Beth, your comments waiting on the governor's order. I'm all right with that kind of, but I told Beth yesterday, I said, you know what, it makes it look good if we're actually out there lobbying for our people. And especially if we believe our people are going to be safe, that we have an opportunity to go lobby for them, even if it's a waste of time or whatever. At least it looks like, hey, we understand what you guys are going through and we're doing that. So, but again, I go back to enforcement ability, especially with the restaurants. You know, we could gear up that thing in an EOC kind of fashion as well. And we'd have, you know, weekly checks on these restaurants to allow them to open up with the mitigation sheet and the rest. And, you know, I'm not out for a lot of brain damage to all have this all happen either. But again, I do, and Lord knows it isn't me that's looking for the beauty contest. But I do think that if we have the ability to look kind of good out there in our public, I think it's a good idea. So anyhow, my comments.
So I would definitely, I don't want to prejudge whatever the restaurant association, the local restaurant association brings to us. I think we wait and see what that is and we talk about it with public health and decide. One of the things I want to remind us is that the hospital has to also sign off on a variance request. So public health has to sign off on it, we have to sign off on it, and the hospital has to sign off on it. So it's not, you know, it's not just a small thing. You know, I think it was the biggest thing was when these restaurant folks saw the potential. So again, I think there's just so much confusion, and so like it seems like maybe within the governor's office, again, unsurprisingly, you know, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. I think there are possibly different messages going to different people. And so we don't know, you know, we know that maybe the governor's office is considering something sometime between Memorial Day and June 14th. And I think our local restaurant owners saw that June 14th date and they said, holy cow, if we have to wait till June 14th, we're really screwed. I mean, and they really were talking about their ability to sustain themselves based on their reserves. You know, this is all the way from mid-March all the way to mid-June. And I think they've kind of done the calculation themselves that like, well, we could make it till Memorial Day, but if it's after that, we're gonna really start struggling. And especially knowing when PPP money, there's something related to the PPP money as well that is concerning them and when the timeline is on that. So, you know, I don't think it is about just looking good. I mean, I do think we want to demonstrate our commitment to helping our local businesses where we can. And I would imagine, again, we haven't looked at our local, we haven't done the full review of our local data yet after 2 to 3 weeks of Safer at Home, which we will do. But I would think that if kind of that May 15th to May 18th timeline, the data is looking like it's okay to do some more reopening, we could move more quickly than the state on that front, I guess is what I'm thinking. But I think we have to be cautiously optimistic about that given how long the state's process is taking. So I am a little worried that we would agree to do this and then the restaurants still wouldn't get what they need in order
But I agree with Doug, not just to quote unquote look good, but I think it would be perfectly appropriate to send the kind of message that is if, the big ifs, if our numbers remain at or near where they are now, which I think we could at today's snapshot, we can definitely say that we are in a better place than the state as a whole. So if that is true, and I agree with you, Beth, we have to go all the way down through all of those criteria and all of those metrics. But if we did that today, the answer would probably be, yeah, it's probably okay to move towards moving up. And I think we can send that message and that all these things, if they fall into place like they hope they do, we are okay with the restaurants getting going. It depends on a lot. It obviously depends upon what their guidelines and regulations look like, what our data looks like, but I think it's okay to say that we're supportive if all of that works.
Yeah, so as I said, I meet with them again on Tuesday, and I'm happy to do that. I'm glad that they've invited me to be there. And Carrie actually is participating in those meetings as well. And so I just want to make sure that you guys are on board with what I think we want to tell them, which is we invite you to send us this information. We are very open to considering it. We need about one more week of data, you know, through the 15th or the 18th.
10 minutes, 20 before, minutes.
We'll really be ready to know, you know, whether we can move forward. But assuming the data looks the way it looks right now, we believe we would be ready to, we would be able to move forward. And so we should prepare, you know, we should be ready on that date to move forward with that request, or even earlier, quite frankly, if there's a request that says pending review of our data, we would like to reopen, you know, allow a limited reopening of restaurants. So
I'm with that. I'm good with that.
Okay. Just time is of the essence with this, you know. It's not just a like, let's wait to the 18th and then move on this. I know it's a little hard because there's always a possibility that we say, yeah, we are cautiously optimistic we can move forward, but, you know, and then we have to go back on that. That would be problematic, but I think it's better to be ready for the possibility of moving forward.
So I would agree too, and I especially the part, you know, and let them figure out your, when you meet with them, mm-hmm. let them figure out their mitigation strategies and the rest. And, you know, we're, and that way, you know, and again, we're ready to open. If something comes up like that, we're ready to move on it. So I, again, this whole thing has just been absolutely disappointing. Not for us. We haven't done anything wrong, but we've always been a day late, you know, and God, that just makes me mad. I just, it's like it. Well, a day late and a dollar short, man. It's just like good vision, and but oh, somebody else beat us to it. So well, I guess we're good minds work well together. So, but
yeah,
you know, so we're.
Yeah. Doug, that was a bold statement that we haven't done anything wrong. I mean, I'm sure we did something wrong. I don't want to go ahead and like run through the list of possibilities, but I guarantee we've done something wrong.
Yeah, I've been hearing some chatter out there that we haven't done everything right. I don't know about you guys.
So the other thing is that I don't know, Kara asked me this morning, do we think we want to also try to discuss that at our Board of Health meeting on Wednesday. And again, I think given the time of all this, I would lean toward yes. I mean, not that we're considering it at that point, but that we're having the conversation. And Kara could tell us, you know, what the restaurant industry is would be proposing. I don't know. What do you guys think? Is that too quick to move on that?
No, if these guys want to open up, it's on them to get their plan together and get it to us. And at our current schedule of meetings, we're going to be meeting on the 13th as the Board of Health, and then again, not until the 20th.
So the 13th is probably the day. And yeah. I think we just need to be really clear because, I mean, let's be honest, though, we're getting a lot of noise from the people who support us moving in this direction. We're going to start hearing from the people who don't support us moving in this direction. So we need to just be really careful and transparent about when we are, you know, we're getting a presentation versus we're actually considering it, and making sure that people know the right time to give comment so that, yeah.
Well,
start hearing from the other people, I guess, is my point.
That's a great point, Beth. And I guess that begs the question is, will we be in a position on Wednesday to receive these materials, consider and discuss those materials, and make a decision all at the same time?
I don't think we should. I don't think we should be prepared to make a decision. I mean, I think I would be inclined to say no. I mean, I think that it maybe the agenda item is presentation from the restaurant association, you know, and we're providing some feedback to them indicating generally whether we are supportive, we're not supportive, we would like to see changes. But I wouldn't say we're making a decision on filing a variance request that day.
On the other hand, we don't want to wait until the 20th either. So we may need to schedule yet another special meeting of the Board of Health by Friday or Monday or something like that if we're serious about helping these folks out and moving forward.
Yeah, when I think about transparency, I just think we need to give the opportunity for this to be discussed publicly and then for people to be able to give us their thoughts on it. Before we make a decision. And I just don't think that's going to be able to happen before Wednesday. But you're right, Tim, we probably won't want to wait all the way until the 20th. Although maybe, you know, maybe the if we ask, let's maybe ask them and see what's in their proposal regarding a timeline. And that maybe will guide us on how quickly we need to try to move forward.
Sounds good to me.
So I guess my comment would be, I think that we need to have it on the agenda. I don't think we need to have it as a decision item, or we could have it as a decision item, but then we could easily table it to get further public feedback. So I agree. And we want to hear from everybody. I guess I'm a little less sympathetic for the ones that are not wanting to open up because they continue to hide out. And, so they don't need to be part of the restaurant scene either if they didn't want to. So, but again, I guess, I don't want to have it on the agenda and then decide whether we're going to adopt it or not. That didn't turn out very good last week for this week on Wednesday when we had the Excel spreadsheet that had all that stuff. And I don't know. It just seemed like, we got blamed for a lot of stuff that's in the governor's order, really. So,
well, so I guess just to reiterate and make sure we're on the same page, I think we can put it on the agenda and we'll have a presentation from the Lodging Association with their proposal, and we'll have a presentation from the Restaurant Association with their proposal. And that's what it is. It's a presentation on their proposal. And then from there, we can decide what the next steps are.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think if we put it on there as a decision item, I think it's going to get people's hackles up. I don't see the harm in having that consideration on Wednesday. And on Wednesday, if it looks like a pretty good idea and we're comfortable with the proposals generally, I'm sure we'll have some comments. We could reschedule something for Friday, make the edits that are necessary and move forward from there. And I know everybody hates us making decisions on a Friday, but time is of the essence. And that's probably waiting through the weekend. We just lose 3 or 4 more days automatically, and that's too much.
I think you're probably right on what that will be. And I just say, let's hear from them what they want the timeline to be. But I think you're probably on the right track.
Okay. That's good to hear. I like being on the right track.
So I'm all right with all of that, what you guys just said. So, but I still think that we ought to probably put it on discussion and consideration. And then we can put on there that the item may be tabled for further information or further public feedback too. So I don't know. And who's making the board packet for us as well? So
it's going to come from Kara. I think the only thing about what you're saying is I don't know what we would be considering. I mean, we don't have a request to consider yet, and it would be our first. So even if there was something to adopt or whatever else, I don't know what it would be.
It would be providing direction to legal staff to prepare an exemption request.
I don't think legal has been preparing exemption requests in other places. I think it's public health.
We would be directing staff to prepare an exemption request.
And I just don't think there's actually an action until we have something to consider. And I think we would want to hear their presentation and then decide if there is something to be
considered. Well, that would be it. That would be directing staff to prepare the request to bring it back to the Board of Health on a Friday or a Monday or whatever day for consideration and adoption, I guess.
I'm good with all that. So that's okay. Good. Yep, I'm good. It's kind of minor details.
Yeah, I got you. And it's balancing the transparency without, what Tim said, we want to avoid people freaking out and misunderstanding what it is that we're trying to do, if possible. They will do that, but we, to the extent that we can try to avoid it. So I guess my question maybe is to Mark, because Kendra and Deanna aren't here, around the agenda item. I can just respond to Kara because she's the one that asked me the question, but do you want to help support Kendra and Deanna in determining what that agenda item should look like?
Be happy to. I'll pass that along this morning, and I'm sure they're monitoring email and make sure that they understand that we want to be able to have that good packet of information as soon as possible. and then prepare for the presentations on Wednesday from both the Lodging Association and the Restaurant Association. You bet. Glad to do that, Beth.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. Okay, that's it on that one. Do you guys have anything else on restaurants and lodging?
A question. I presume that both the state and our local folks are going to make some distinctions between inside and outside dining.
I would think so, but I don't know. So we'll find out. That's why we need a presentation from them, right?
Right. Yep.
What was I going to say about that? No, I don't know. I don't know. It was something. Oh, I know what it was. The other thing with the local stuff, they also, so it's not just the state variants, you know, the restaurants that are in Steamboat especially, they want to also work with the city on some variances regarding code to help them exactly like you're talking about indoor outdoor, Tim, to like maximize the amount of outdoor space they have available, to figure out how to make sure that there's parking close enough so that if people are doing takeout, they it's facilitated. So they have some other requests that are going to the city as well, just so you guys know.
So are they going to have weddings there too?
God, I don't know. I feel like weddings have become the least of my problems, but I'm sure these poor brides wish that they were at the top of our list. I really do feel for them. I just don't know what to do.
It's all good. Okay. Yeah, we're good.
No, I gotcha. So I was hoping to maybe just have a little, just to use one of Tim's favorite terms, spitball a little bit on a potential timeline around second homeowners and kind of a change in message from where we are now to where we want to go. So I keep reflecting back on that letter, and I understand that we missed the mark in terms of the tone. I think we did something that really Eric keeps telling us not to do, which is we attempted to interpret the state order for other people, right? So with everyone freaking out about us telling second homeowners not to come, I think we have to remember the point that under Safer at Home, the governor is telling the second homeowners not to come. And so they keep saying, follow the governor, don't get out ahead of him, but also invite second homeowners back. And those are not the same thing. Those are two different things. But anyway, that's just sort of thinking more about it than I probably should stop thinking so much about it. But what I would like to talk about is just what we think the right kind of, again, a same caveat as restaurants and lodging, assuming that our data heads in the right direction, what would we think we would want the timeline to be for a shift in that message? And I guess I'll just tell you what I've been thinking about. I'm kind of thinking like a Memorial Day end of the month type of timeline, maybe slightly before a shift in lodging might happen, but not, you know, not tomorrow, but kind of in that Memorial Day to the end of the month time that we would work with the chamber and work with these other folks to just shift the message on second homeowners. Again, assuming that our data is headed in the right direction to be able to do that. What do you guys think?
Well, number one, obviously, if we're going to be considering lifting the short-term lodging prohibition, obviously the same prohibition should be lifted for the second homeowners.
Just clarify, it's not a prohibition, it's discouragement.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
I thought you wrote down everything you were going to say today.
No, I did not. Those two things kind of go hand in hand. For me, I think that there's a lot to be said for staging those two relaxations, for lack of a better word. I think it also may be in terms of the Restaurant Association. We've heard, and we talked about it earlier this week, that part of the reason that the Restaurant Association wants to get opened up is they need a little bit of time to get organized before they have to deal with larger numbers of people. So there's something to be said for seeing our second homeowners come back into town before we start seeing other visitors come into town.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at, thinking about just that. I know it's only a week difference, but that really, and the reopening of lodging doesn't necessarily mean that there will be marketing efforts yet. I know that the chamber is kind of working on that. Sorry, Doug.
So I guess, yeah, my comment, I don't know. I just, maybe we were a little crass in our letter to the second homeowners or whatever. I don't, but at the same point in time, I don't know that we go back and regress on that. And I don't think that, I'm not really interested in saying, hey, I think we were right that, we wasn't following the governor's safer at home order. So I don't need to stoop down and kiss somebody's toes. So, that's like, and again, I want to be open for the business and but I don't need to be advertising here right now. I still think we need to have some time for transition too. So if we just, and again, so a gentle public statement coming out of the JIC or out of the public relations would be good for me personally. So I don't want to make a resolution. Oh, we're open now. The thing of Gunnison County, I thought that was actually embarrassment, the second letter that they sent out. So they must have, I didn't get to see the first one, so it must have been pretty crass, because the second one asking for that much forgiveness, I mean, for something like, really? Wow. Anyhow, that was my comment.
So I agree with you, Doug. I don't think that, under safer at home, people are discouraged from going to their second homes and from traveling out of their community. And maybe we didn't use words that people liked to send that message, but I think more what they didn't like is that they weren't supposed to come here. And that is per the state's guidelines. And so I don't think that we should be backing off of that, because that is in line with what the governor has told people. More what I'm thinking about is when it is the right time to encourage some people to come here. Second homeowners, I feel convinced that second homeowners are the first people that we should be encouraging to come and stay and spend money. They really feel like they're a part of our community. They have a house to stay in versus, the way that someone who's just here on vacation might be in a different mindset. So my question is, do we have an idea of what we think? Again, the caveat always being based on what the data shows us about where we are and whether it's safe, where we might change our tone on that message and at least stop discouraging people to visit. But maybe there is also a point where we need to start encouraging people to visit. And I think this is really important to our business owners, that we are part of creating a welcoming atmosphere when the time is right. And that we're supporting that message and recognizing the importance that second homeowners and tourists have to our economy. And again, we're going to have people who don't like that. As you know, I've taken some exception to the people who have used this whole thing as an excuse for the xenophobia that they already have, where they just never, they don't ever want anybody here. I think that that's short-sighted. You know, they don't realize the impact on our economy and the importance to people having jobs, you know, that tourism brings. I don't love crowded July weekends either, but it pays our bills as a community, and we have to recognize that. So I guess my question is, do we have a sense of when might be the right time to look at shifting that message? And maybe we don't. I mean, that's the other thing. Maybe we don't know yet when that will be. One of the reasons I'm asking is that the chamber, you know, and I'm our representative to the chamber board, is having some discussions about this from a marketing standpoint. And they very much want to be a partner in not encouraging people to come back too early, but once the time is right, encouraging people in the right way, helping people, you know, having a community ethic that makes people feel safe, makes people feel like it's a safe and healthy place to be. And I this is a real challenge to think about how we safely bring tourism back. But I do feel bought into the idea that encouraging second homeowners to come back. So right now we're at discouraging. There will be a point where we're not discouraging it anymore, but I also think we need to move to encouraging them, like a welcome back kind of a message. And so my question is whether one, do you agree with that? And two, do we have a sense of what timeline we might be trying to look at for that? Again, knowing that it's always subject to change based on our data.
So I've got two things. Number one, I think that it would be good if we found a way to change the message from discouraging to something neutral, like you say, or even potentially moving quickly into encouraging. And I was just, as you say, spitballing, I'm thinking out loud here, maybe a way to approach it is that rather than us writing a letter, a second letter or a second set of communications to second homeowners, that maybe a letter to the governor asking or suggesting to the governor that that he rethink his discouragement of second homeowners, and that we in Route County, given our current numbers on infections, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, we actually think it would be appropriate for our second homeowners to start visiting Route County. And we would ask the governor to consider changing his public health order to be more allowing of that activity.
So his public health order was an encouragement not to do, so it wasn't a ruling. So I don't know, man. I just think we just kind of let the chips fall here by the, you know, and I'm personally open, and I want to be open to our community, and I want to heal, but I don't know. I don't think I need to admit any fault of our second home letter. I'll go back to the Gunnison County postcard they sent out. I thought that was exceptionally regressive, and that they felt that, you know, I didn't get to see the first letter that they got. I mean, I realized the lawsuit, and the, you know, they got sued by Texas and whatever. So, but anyhow, I just soon, you know, we're supportive and we're allowing it to happen, you know, and I don't know. I don't want to be too far out of the front and too far back behind.
Well, you know, sometimes the smartest course of action is to do nothing. I think we should consider that as a course of action.
So,
the best point, eventually, we are going to have to decide what it is that we really want to see. And we do need to consider the timing, especially in relationship to the potential lifting of or modification of our short-term lodging prohibition.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about that part. Mine is more on the messaging and the marketing side of things. And I know we have a wide range of opinions among our constituents about tourism, and they love it, they hate it. Most people both love it and hate it, right? They, or maybe don't know or recognize the benefits it brings to their life. And so they only hate it. But I guess I feel like it's important for us to recognize that our local economy and our local businesses and our local jobs are dependent on tourism. And as a caveat to that, John Bristol is actually doing a lot of work right now. I just was reading an email from him this morning to the Economic Development Council saying, hey, now we see more than ever why our economy needs to be diverse, right? We can't be over reliant on one industry. So that message needs to be there too. But the fact of the matter is we are reliant on tourism. And I think I would just encourage us as the Board of Health and the Board of County Commissioners to really fully recognize that and work in partnership with the Chamber on figuring out kind of what their rollout of marketing looks like. I know they're working on it, but I think I'd like to just really engage with them and give and be a partner on it. You know, we're going to have people who don't like that tourism is being encouraged. But we also have people who don't like that tourism is being discouraged because their businesses and their jobs depend on it. And so I just think we need to be at the table, and I would not advocate for us doing nothing. I don't think this is a time to do nothing. I think we have to show that we get it, that we get how our economy works locally, and that we need to be as thoughtful as we can about how we balance these conflicting risks, quite frankly.
So I'm all good with all of that. I just hate to put my name on something that, you know, and know what I'm putting my name on and know the details of it and the rest. And just like you said, I realize the economy of the tourism and totally on board with that. Understand it quite well. But at the same point in time, you know, I don't know. So I just want to make sure that we got a definite plan and that we have, you know, so this is what we're doing and this is what we're supporting, and something in black and white that we can actually put our fingerprints on and our signatures on, and then we're all good about that. So, you know, the phasey stuff just kind of gets me, and I just get worried about, you look what you guys did, right? Okay.
So I started this by saying I just kind of wanted to spitball about and hear from you guys and just have some conversation about where we are on this. And so just reminder that's kind of what I was asking. And so I think, to me, I know the Chamber is working on what a marketing plan for the summer might look like. Obviously it's different than what it would be in other years. I don't know that we want to make them discuss it in a public setting, but as our liaison to the Chamber, I can keep having conversation and try to bring back relevant information for you guys. What I'm hearing you say is that you don't really know what the right timeline should be for us to be looking at this kind of move in that direction, which is fine. That's what I was asking, thought about it.
So no, maybe I need to be a little bit more clear. Speaking for myself personally,
yeah.
If in fact we had a prohibition on second homeowners, which we don't.
Yeah.
But if in fact we had that prohibition, I would be advocating to lift that as soon as possible. I wouldn't be advocating for a marketing campaign to bring those folks back right now. But I would be advocating to lift a local prohibition and direct our second homeowners to look at the governor's Safer at Home order and make their own decision about what they thought they should do.
But so we don't have a prohibition, and that is what we've done. So I guess I'm not sure, thinking about actually,
back to messaging and it kind of dovetails with what Doug is saying, which is there's really nothing specific to be done here in terms of second homeowners other than to say that we're probably more comfortable with you second homeowners than maybe what the governor is. I don't know. It's a lot of gray area in there.
Well, and that, so that's really my question is when, you know, is it today? Is it tomorrow? Is it in 3 weeks? Is it when the lodging prohibition is potentially lifted at the end of the month? Is it Memorial Day? I don't know. And I don't necessarily need an answer. I'm just curious if you guys have a thought on that idea. It's
before the lifting of the short-term lodging prohibition. How long before? I'm not prepared to say right now.
Yes, I agree. And again, I wasn't really comfortable with the second homeowner, you know, conversation just because Eric telling us, you know, it's a takings situation potentially anyhow. So you hit it right on the head, Beth. I mean, these people are more vested than somebody that comes and drops, you know, $250 a night on their room. So, you know, they're much more vested into our community and will be much, you know, so I just don't want to go and do what Gunnison County did, was
no.
regress and say, hey, no, we really screwed up. No, we didn't screw up. I don't think we did at all. So
we didn't, I wouldn't think we would walk back on what has been said, but I do think there's a point in time where we say, remember how we couldn't welcome you because it wasn't safe to do so. And now we are welcoming you. I mean, it's a change in circumstance. It's not a walking back of what we did or said, like you said, Doug.
It's also that, but doing it that way is, for lack of a better phrase, it's kind of openly defying the governor's direction.
So I don't necessarily, I want to go back to what you said, Tim. I do, what the governor has done a good job of saying, and he's doing this on our behalf, which I appreciate. He's saying the mountain communities are not ready for you yet, so please don't go there. And so if we come to a time where we say, you know what, we are ready for them, I wouldn't necessarily say we should advocate to the governor to change his stance. We should just say, we appreciate you working to help protect our mountain community, and we are ready for second homeowners to come back to Route County. So thank you very much, you know, but I do, maybe something like that, whenever we decide the right timeline is on that, I could see doing something like that. It's all messaging, right? It's messaging and marketing kind of things. It's really showing our support and showing that we believe second homeowners can help to support our local businesses. And so it is, again, it's a calculated risk, right? But we believe that it's a smaller risk than throwing the doors open to tourism. And so it's the first step.
So, Memorial Day weekend is the 23rd, is that right?
Yeah, it's pretty early this year.
Because it's the fourth Saturday, I guess. That must be.
I guess, I don't know, yeah.
Why it's happening. So that's 2 weeks from today. My presumption is that at least as far as the second homeowners, again, assuming that our numbers are in the right place, when we get to that 2 week time frame, it's by then. I mean, why wouldn't we be welcoming our second homeowners back into the community in time for Memorial Day?
Assuming that our data heads in the same, I mean, we all know that assumption.
Yep. Assuming that the data is there, yes.
So I think, go ahead, Doug. I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I'm totally on board there too. And it goes back to the restaurant thing too. You know, we kind of have to kind of think about mixing the restaurant situation with the second homeowner situation, because they probably don't come here so that they can cook meals in their second home, whether it's a condo or something else. So, you know, it goes back to kind of why I'm supportive of trying to figure out how we can get some, you know, even if it's our local herd, our clan, that we open up our restaurants and figure out how to do that with the governor's help and the exemption. So, but that way we kind of set up for when we're opening back up or inviting back the second homeowners, which would be good. But they kind of need to have that service, I believe. And I don't know, but I'm just saying and thinking out loud here. I mean, these people have more money than I do, and so they probably feel that they, you know, they just assume they come here to enjoy the dining experiences as well. So I think the two of them kind of work together. So I, you know, that's what I'd say.
Yeah, you know, actually, to that point, I was thinking about this morning. The other thing I'm very concerned about on behalf of the restaurants is that we say, okay, you can reopen, and then nobody goes and eats in restaurants. And then they're still not in a good place, you know? And so I do think that there's, so what I'm hearing you say, and what I would propose is that, you know, Kara and I have been having conversations about these things just kind of on the chamber standpoint. And I know she's bringing some things to us for consideration as a board, but I've kind of just been helping her navigate through figuring out maybe what might make sense to propose. But what I'm hearing is maybe Memorial Day weekend is kind of the target we're looking at for restaurants and for second homeowners. In sort of a broad sense. And then June 1st is really the reopening of short-term lodging in some capacity. And then after that, probably just some question marks, I don't know. But those would be, I'll just check in, if you guys agree, I'll just check in with Kara and see if that kind of aligns with what they are looking at proposing, both from the lodging, from the restaurants, as well as from their marketing plan.
So I think you're generally in the right place. Okay. Let me propose an alternative timeline, which would be a week from today on the 16th, or right in that time frame, changing the messaging around second homeowners. And then a week later, the actual opening of restaurants, and then a week later, the lifting of the short-term lodging prohibition, 1, 2, 3. Because if you're going to, if you're going to message to your second homeowners, it's going to take them some time to travel here anyway.
So, I'm okay with that, with a caveat on that. I do think like the 15th is a Friday and the 18th is a Monday. So I kind of just keep using that window for the time that we need to be examining our data, where we'll have enough data from Safer at Home to know if we're headed in the right direction. But I guess what I'd say is maybe we are prepared if our data at that point when we examine it shows us that we are ready to keep moving forward. We're ready immediately to change the message on second homeowners.
Yes, that's good.
Okay, well, I'll share those things with Kara and see, like I said, I just wanted to have some conversation. I mean, obviously these aren't final decision points, but just to make sure we're all kind of headed in the right direction on that. Okay, you want another can of worms?
Triple Crown?
Great.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about Triple Crown, and I haven't had any opportunity to have any conversation with anyone. Kara did send me some information. Did she send it to all of us or just to me? I'm sorry. I'll forward it to you guys.
Yeah, you need to forward it. I didn't get it, I don't think.
Okay, so my apologies on that. So I think the biggest thing is just, again, timing. So I have a couple of questions. One is, under the governor's Safer at Home order, so if not, assuming, this is probably not a safe assumption, but let's pretend nothing is going to change between now and when Triple Crown starts on June 8th, is it actually allowed? And I don't know the answer to that question. I kind of lean toward no because of the gathering size, but I actually am not certain. So that's one question. So then I think it's probably safe to assume that something will change before June 8th, but what do we need to be doing locally to help prepare for that if it is allowed? Because it's just, you know, it's only a month away and we can't find out on May 27th that Triple Crown is going to be able to go, you know, is going to be a go on June 8th and then sort of scramble. And a lot of this isn't necessarily our problem, so to speak, but I do think we should be proactive in thinking about it. So I don't know what you guys are thinking, but. And I'll also say there are people in town who would like nothing more than to see Triple Crown not happen. It, you know, it's a thorn in people's side, but that's not a good reason to try to keep it from happening. I would never, you know, I wouldn't say that. I think it's more a question of, is it allowed or not? And I just don't even really know.
Well, I mean, not to put too fine a point on it. We don't have any authority in this area. I mean, if they choose to come and defy the governor's safer at home order, it becomes a law enforcement issue. It's not a decision. I mean, we don't get to cancel Triple Crown. So
We could theoretically, but I think Eric would advise us against one-off cancellation of events, but you're right. I mean, my comment about most of this isn't really our responsibility, so to speak, but I do think we need to be proactive in just making sure we know what the heck is going on.
Well, who is it that's communicating with Triple Crown? Is it Kara and the Chamber?
Yeah, it's the Chamber. So I just forwarded you the information. So they have identified some social distancing protocols and safety protocols, et cetera. So I think from that end, you know, the actual like playing of, what do they play, softball, baseball? I actually don't even know if it's softball or baseball. Both?
Yeah, at different times.
Okay. So the actual playing of ball sports, I don't think that it's that's the issue. I think it's the audience, you know, the crowd that comes to watch, etc. And then it's also an issue, some of the local considerations have to do with where are they going to eat, where are they going to stay, you know, those kinds of things. And then what happens if the governor's, you know, what if the gathering size, let's say it's 25 at that point, law enforcement needs to be prepared for that, I think, right? Knowing that there's a large event happening that, or series of events that could exceed those rules, and to just sort of be prepared for it. So I don't have any, you know, firm answers. I'm just kind of thinking through the things that probably need to be considered by the community as a whole. It's not just our responsibility.
So I'm kind of with Tim here a little bit. I don't know that it's, you know, yeah, we are the Board of Health and the rest, but I think, you know, I think they need to send off and get approval from the governor's office and the CDPHE on this whole thing. I get a little upset about us interpreting what the governor's rules are, and, you know, so they need to come up with that, and then we'll figure out how we deal with the lodging and deal with the restaurants and the rest if they are in fact allowed. I mean, it's just no different than having Buck Branham come down over here to the fairgrounds as well, too. So that would be different because we were the owner of the facility. So we're not the owner of facilities on these on the Triple Crown stuff. So I think they need to go do their own homework and not put us in the middle of it. And we deal with the repercussions of it. So it's kind of.
I don't think anyone is putting us in the middle of it, but you saw that Dr. Harrington just asked us, hey, what's going on with that? You know, what do we know? And I think the answer is we don't know anything, which is, you know, and so Kara sent us some information here, which I think is helpful. But here's who is going to ask questions. Residents, right? Why is this allowed? What are they doing to make sure it's being done safely, et cetera? And they're going to be pointing to us and saying, what are you doing to make sure that these people are not infecting our community? And so I agree that I don't actually think we have any statutory responsibility here. It's a law enforcement, you know, it's an enforcement of the state order issue if there's a violation, and if there's not, then there's not an enforcement issue. But people are going to want us to at least have answers when they ask, what's going on with Triple Crown? What do you guys know about how it's being done safely, et cetera?
So again, you know, it goes back to, you know, maybe we need to have the thermometers and the temperatures checks and the rest as they come in. You know, so bringing up law enforcement, we didn't finish our discussion on law enforcement either on this whole situation either. So
let's stay focused.
We want to have.
Let's stay focused, but you're right.
So I'm such a fan of Triple Crown. So, you know, I don't know. So, but they need to get some approval from some higher ups than higher pay scale than me, than us, I believe. And then we'll deal with, you know, they said it's all right. We're not, and again, we don't have any rules in our toolbox right now that say it's not right. So at that point in time, so it's not, you know, it's not our battle. So,
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I appreciate what you're saying that, you know, we're going to get the feedback, well, these guys are coming in polluting us. So, you know, that's all right. So
only point. Our residents are going to try to make it our battle on one side or the other. And all I really think we need to do is just know the answers. You know, I don't think we have to tell Triple Crown to do anything. I don't think we have to ask them for anything, but I do think we have to understand what's happening. And right now, I don't think we do have that information.
So I don't know who I agree with and who I disagree with.
Disagree with all of us, Tim. It's all good.
I agree with myself that...
That's very convenient for you.
I think it would be appropriate to indicate to Kara and the chamber that these folks really should be submitting this plan, which I've been looking at it during our conversation here. And I give them credit for thinking through a lot of different things. But if they're giving it to us for our approval, they went to the wrong group of people. They need to go to the state and make sure it's okay with the state.
Yep, I agree. not to run from a battle, but anyhow, run from a battle.
So they didn't actually even send it to us. They sent it to Kara. Kara forwarded it to us just when I asked her for it. So I agree with you. And obviously I have a list of a few things that I'm talking to Kara about today. And so, or, you know, in the near future. And so I'll just ask her, hey, do you know if Triple Crown has, you know, kind of gotten sign off on this plan at the state level or not? Because if they haven't, they really probably should before.
The only place that they could potentially be in conflict with us would be if for some reason we determined that this kind of activity was subject to our workplace mitigation protocol.
I wouldn't think we would do that personally, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I appreciate your concerns around the downstream consequences in the community. Where are these people going to stay if nothing changes and if we still had a lodging prohibition? Are they all planning on camping up in the woods?
This is one of the biggest money makers for our lodging establishments in the summer is Triple Crown.
So if we did not lift our short-term lodging prohibition, this event could not take place.
Well, I don't know definitively, but I know that we'd have some real upset people on our hands and that potentially cancellation of this event would occur as a result. Potentially.
Well, another thing that's interesting, looking at their at what you forwarded over, it's obvious that they're considering not having fans in the stands. They're talking about having one person videotaping. So are they just bringing coaches and players and no parents? That's hard to imagine, but
But it would resolve a lot of the issues. I mean, other than people coming from outside in, but you know, the people coming from outside in, it's, unless we're going to say that's not allowed to happen, this event is going to go forward. So I think I'll save that to Kara. I'll ask her if this has gone to the state. And if not, that would be our thought, is this needs to go to the state.
Yep, I think that's a good tack.
I also don't even know. It feels like Triple Crown lasts all summer. And when does it actually happen? I mean, I obviously it starts June 8th, according to what we know, but.
I don't know, but I agree with you. It feels like there's a time frame where they're here constantly.
Okay. I only have one other thing. And Tim, earlier you said you hadn't checked your email, but I'm wondering if you've gotten to it now. Dylan's property tax bill.
Looking at it right now.
Hey, Doug, did you look at it?
No, I did not. I didn't get time to. So,
well, let's.
So, what's it? Give me the 2 second version. Yeah.
Well,
tell me what it's
basically,
doing.
It sounds like he was asked to be the primary sponsor on this bill, allowing counties to waive interest on tax payments.
Sounds like a solution chasing a problem right now.
Well, so he's asking for our input on it, and I'll be curious to hear what Lane thinks. I'm a little worried that it just puts a lot of pressure on us to do something that would negatively impact, school districts, fire districts, like we've talked about, that this is a cash flow issue for those entities when we start talking about taxes. And so I just don't know. And this is just about our ability to waive interest. It's not a reduction in taxes or a delay of taxes, but the assumption around waiving interest for late payments is that you're allowing people to make payments late. I mean, that would be the reason to do it, right?
Yeah. So I'd be totally against that waiving, number one, period. So, you know, and again, I've said, as we discussed earlier, when CCI was having the conversations about the taxes as well, and, you know, I don't mind, you know, the usury rate of 18% a year, that's not fair either. So, but we ought to have something in there that, you know, maybe an adjustable rate versus waiving or charge 18%.
It says reduce or waive. And really what this bill is doing is giving us authority to do that. And so I just wasn't sure what the unintended consequences of that might end up being. And I was curious what you guys thought.
Well, if that's what it came down to, that where we could lower that interest rate to something that's more reasonable, I might be okay with that, but I'd like to carefully read it before I really weigh in.
Yeah, I guess my comment, I'd just as soon not have the political pressure to waive it, and then we have to get beat up on both sides to make and negotiate a deal here. So, you know, if they want to give us some parameters or something like that in the bill, that'll be charged at the Fed rate or something like that, give us some constraints. I'd rather not be negotiating every time every pandemic or whatever, and be negotiating what those rates are going to be. So that would be, I don't want to do that.
When you guys get I feel like you guys, and Doug, you especially, just understand this a little better than I do. I'm still new at all this, so it's helpful to me to hear your comments on that.
Okay.
So the other thing quickly, so you're talking about the Dylan's bill as well. So then evidently we have this bill and our assessor, Gary, sent us an email on the conversation of de-Gallagherizing Colorado as well. So we had a good conversation on Wednesday with AG&C, Thursday morning, AG&C. But Yeah, I don't see the downside of maybe that bill, but I don't know that anybody's going to vote for it. But we have this perfect storm. We have this perfect storm coming up for taxable entities. We're just going to get hammered and killed here with, I mean, with the decreasing value of oil and gas royalty and oil and gas valuations, the increasing residential, and then hell, we could see residential assessment rates go down to, 5%, you know, so I, 5% of actual. So I don't know. So we had a good discussion on our, I don't know whether they're, what the perfect bill is either, but we have a big problem happening.
So what are they proposing? I'm not familiar with this, Doug. Sorry, Doug, you're muted.
Oh, okay, I unmuted and then it got muted again. So, but, you know, basically removing the 55-45% and going back to some basic level. But then it would still be Tabor capped too. So, you know, we couldn't raise any more money than we had in the first place. So it isn't a revenue generator so much. It's a revenue stabilizer, yeah. And with the residential assessment rate. So I don't know. So I'll forward over the Bernie Busher, the used to be the state treasurer, and so he's one of the only Democrats over in Mesa County, but anyhow, so he's been a good representative.
I didn't know there were any.
Oh yeah,
a few live, yeah.
It was a while ago when Bernie was serving. He couldn't get elected now. That was back in the day.
Yeah, but anyhow, well, you guys got the email from Bonnie too, so take a look at that, or if you want me to email it again to you. So, but. I don't know. We took a position that we're going to kind of think that we need to support this, you know, especially if it's a statewide assessment that we're all getting beat up at the local level. It isn't a local assessment ratio and the rest. So, you know, maybe there's, but anyhow, it still needs to. And so, you know, even based on Gary's email, it still needs 2/3 of the, General Assembly to vote yes for it, and then it still has to go through and be a ballot election and then pass the ballot.
Now, two things. Number one, it's hard to imagine that they could come up with something on Gallagher that's worse than what we have now. And number two, it probably stands absolutely zero chance of getting through the legislature. So I'll take a look at it more thoroughly.
Hey, Doug, will you send that to me too, please?
Happy to, Eric. Thank you. Yep.
Thanks.
I just have one last thing. Over the last several days, I've had, and I think you just saw an email come in from Chris McNorth. I had a conversation with Tara Humphries on, I think it was Wednesday, and then Chris again yesterday. And both the Forest Service and CPW are moving towards opening up campgrounds. And they were both asking me what we thought. And I relayed to them verbally that it sounds like the general direction we're going anyway with short-term lodging, restaurants, et cetera, and that personally I was okay with that direction. But you can see Chris actually wants to meet with us to talk about it. Which is fine. So that's just a heads up that that's where those guys are headed.
Okay, great.
Yeah, Tim, I don't know what we say about that, you know, so I'm fine. We have to figure out, and hopefully it'll be phased in just like the chamber, how many people we can get in really quickly. And, you know, hopefully there'll be healthier people and the rest. And maybe the curve has come down and then we're not going to be seeing, you know, sick people getting away from their urban environment. So I don't know what we say either. So I don't know. It just kind of goes back to the second homeowner thing. I don't want to endorse it, but I don't want to say no. And then I don't want to advertise it. So, hey, yep. You know, I've kind of turned a blind eye to it. Life goes on.
For CPW, especially for the park side, they have a critical cash flow problem. And that the parks, they need to generate some fees or they're going to have to close the park. So it's pretty critical for CPW. It's a different situation for the Forest Service altogether. But I think they're all trying to, I mean, they're being very courteous to include us in the conversation and not just unilaterally move forward without talking to us. And I really appreciate that from those guys. It's very helpful.
And I appreciate Chris, you know, wanting to try to coordinate locally and those sorts of things. That's helpful. I do think, you know, that I've organized this group of tourism, I'm calling it tourism reliant counties, to continue to have conversations about what reopening looks like. And I do think that we were, hopefully this week, that Dan Gibbs was going to join us. So we can probably ask him some questions too and give him some feedback in that venue.
Chris said that there were very specific instructions given by Dan Gibbs to all the regional managers to get in touch with their county commissioners and have this conversation before they determined what they were going to do moving forward.
That's great. Well, I think we can just ask Deanna to put it on the agenda. And I saw that Chris CC'd Deanna. So if one of those times is during our meeting, that would be the easiest.
Right. So, that's all I have.
I just had one other thought. This is sort of random, but this morning it just occurred to me, you know, the governor is talking about looking at the statewide data on May 18th and making decisions from there. But it occurred to me that like 50% of the population, which is in the metro area, and it really is about 50% of the population, has been under stay at home until yesterday or today. So I'm really curious how valid that statewide data is going to actually be when 50% of the population in the state stayed under stay at home 2 weeks longer than everybody else. Anyway, just a random thought I had this morning. I think it highlights the importance of us using our local data to make decisions about whether the direction the state is heading is the right direction for us or not.
Yep.
Well, it kind of goes back to we're using testing data that we didn't have testing till 2 weeks ago. You know, so it's really so.
It's been more than 2 weeks now, but yes, that was true before for sure.
I think in fairness, now we have had the adequate level of testing to actually develop some usable data.
No, I agree, Tim. And it's just, we just don't have any baseline. We don't have any, so it's hard to create a path or, a graph. We all know that. So it's all good. So
I don't have anything else either. I'll tell you one thing that was interesting. I went and looked at the Unicast social distancing graph yesterday. And since Safer at Home has been implemented, Rauk County, along with the rest of the state, those numbers are diminishing. And the governor's saying that they're hitting their target points right now. I'm not sure that he's looking at the same numbers that I am. Social distancing is getting down to that 45, 50% range, not...
Well, I think they're using more than one data point to measure social distancing. I think that's a big part of it, because that's just one, and that has to do with like mobility data, right? Is what they use. You're right. I noticed too that it had gone way down, but Rauk County on that graph is still, we're a B plus instead of an A.
Right. And
we're still, I mean, if you look at the actual percentages, it's just the distance traveled that is causing us to not be in that A range. Right. The other two measures, we actually are still down.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it's subject to interpretation, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
And we know that social distancing is going to go down.
I mean,
right? It has to. That's the reopening is to reduce the social distancing. I mean, that's exactly what it is. So,
yeah, we'll see what we'll see.
Yep.
Anything else?
Well, we're meeting on Monday. Yeah, Monday at 10:30, right?
Can't Monday wait.
10:30. I hope you guys enjoy your weekend. Did you have anything, Mark?
I did not, commissioners. I, as always, I'll send you before the weekend is out, I'll send you my reports in advance so you've got some written information that that I'll present to you come Monday morning.
Great. Thank you, Mark. All right. Without objection, let's go ahead and adjourn.
Thanks. Talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.